Romans chapter 8, if you have it with you in your Bible, Romans chapter 8. It'll also be up here. Yeah, it's already here on the screen. Romans chapter 8, one of my very favorite verses, and many others would claim this is to be one of your favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8 and 28. Most of you can quote it. I quote it in about three different versions at the same time. And I quote it in the New Living Testament and the King James and the New American Standard and a little bit of Garth Standard all at one time. But I get the message out when I quote it. But Romans 8, 28, let me read this to you. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Can you say amen to that? I know they're not here right now, but I just want to throw out a big thank you to our children's workers. Last week, they worked extraordinarily hard at preparing a crusade, and the children just loved it. They were back there. And to be honest with you, I went back there, and it wasn't too exciting to me, but that's exactly what the children want. I think about when children's evangelists come, they travel around and do the same thing, that oftentimes the children's evangelists are very entertaining to us adults, but they're not connecting with the children. And so I appreciate our team. They were connecting with those kids, and those kids were making decisions. They were just having the time of their life, and they were making decisions, very positive decisions, in accordance with the gospel message that was broke up into digestible bites for these little babes to comprehend the deep truths in the Scripture. And I just appreciate the efforts that they went to. And if you see Monica or Brittany or JB or the Spears or some of even the youth helped with this project, Daniel and Monica Alford, just hug them, pat them on the back, shake their hand, tell them thank you, because they worked a good two and a half weeks just preparing and then executing last week. Amen. And they worked around while we were putting in new floors and carpets in the back. And they worked around that and never complained. And thank God. And thank God the floors are done. Have you seen the new floors? Somebody asked me how come it took so long. I said, well, I figured it was a strategic move that if I waited long enough and they saw that concrete back there and then old tile pieces long enough, they would be thankful no matter what color the carpet was. How many know it's hard to please everybody? And but anyway, I think everybody's pleased. We're just glad there's not cement back there, old dirty cement looking. Thank God and the Lord's blessed us. Amen. The question we're looking at this scripture this morning, do all things really work together for our good? And so, you know, as we think about this, we could say, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe that. But I want you to think about the following. Let me just, in reflection of that scripture, let me read about some things in the news. Sean Copeland had worked his way up in the Lexmark Software Corporation. He'd worked all the way from a salesman to a vice president in the company. He was 51 years old. He was a loving father of three and a husband. He had one of his son, his youngest son, was 11 years old, named Brody. Brody went to Lakewood Elementary School and was on the honor roll. He played in the honor choir, and he also played baseball. And he aspired that someday he was going to be a comedian or maybe an actor. And Sean had saved up and prepared for a dream vacation, and he and his wife and son, youngest son were on a dream vacation, and they were taking in the sights of Europe. And then on July 14th. They were enjoying the celebration in Bastille, France, when a madman drove his truck right up through the middle of them and killing Brody and his dad and 82 others that day. I was thinking about that scripture that we just read. They tell me that 43.6 million people in the United States live in poverty. On Tuesday, January 5th, an 8-year-old girl in Bossier City named Caitlin Mills, she went home not feeling very well from school. from Bossier Central Park Elementary. And the next evening, she died from swine flu. Yesterday in Lockhart, Texas, there were 16 people that climbed aboard a hot air balloon in the basket, and they were going for the ride of their life. They paid some money to get into that balloon, and within just a few minutes later, the balloon and all those 16 of those people come crashing down in a fiery mess, and they all died. In the U.S. today, every 4.5 minutes, there is a child born with some kind of birth defect. I'm looking at Romans 8:28 right now. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good. And I think about what's happening in the world around us in our day and time, and what we're seeing take place in the news is just it is shocking and astounding. But we see the apostle, he says, be sure of this, that he is very positive as he says this, and he just is convinced that all things work to the good for those who are called of God and in love with him. And so, you know, he's speaking this, but I believe, and I have talked to so many people that really, either secretly or outwardly, they really are having a hard time believing this scripture. And they're just saying, I don't see any good in this. And, you know, they're asking me, Pastor, is sickness good? And I say, no, sickness is not good. Is murder good? No, murder. And, you know, if you're around murder, it's close to you, it's terrible. It's terrible for any circumstance, but murder is not good. Divorce, if many of you walk through divorces in your families or extended families, that's never good. It's always painful. Suicide is horribly painful to all of the victims that follow the person that commits suicide. The death of a child, what good comes out? You just wonder, where's the good in all these things? And they ask me, Pastor, is these things good? And I say, no, they're not good. But the reality of it is, you can like it or not, this is Bible, and it doesn't go away. It's there. And I think that the issue is that, are you still with me now? Amen. The issue is that we got to get the right perspective on this scripture, get the right view of this scripture, and we can begin understanding what it is that God's saying to us. And I want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning, because I want you to walk out of here knowing that the scripture is correct, knowing that that scripture applies to your life, and I hope that it does. First of all, when we look at this scripture, we got to know that we got to begin everything with God. This is where, in the King James Version, it's a little, you know, King James Version is a literal translation of the Bible. And I love the King James Version. But the problem with the King James Version, it was translated during the time that Shakespeare was alive. And some of you remember from high school or college reading some Shakespeare. Pretty tough to understand that, wasn't it? Somebody had to help you understand it. And so when we read the King James Bible, it's almost a foreign language to us unless you've read it a lot and you begin understanding it, and then kind of you get into the understanding how it goes. But the reality of it is in the King James Elizabethan language, we don't talk like that, especially here in Spring Hill. That's not the way we deliver to each other, and we don't say thou and thus and therefore that much. And just those things are not part of our normal everyday vocabulary, and so we have to have God to help us. And I compare it to what happens when we go to South Louisiana. When you go to South Louisiana, them people down there, they don't talk right. You know, Pastor Daphne says they throw the cow over the fence some hay. And I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around that. What went over the fence? The cow or the hay? But anyway, that's the way the rest of the world talks. They talk kind of inverted to the way we talk. And so the King James translation it kind of puts God late in this sentence. It says the same thing, but it says all things work together for the good to them that love God. God's way back in here. In the New International Version, it's a little bit more contemporary version. It starts a little bit sooner. It says, in all things, God works. And so, hey, they put God towards the front. And then in the New Living Testament, it says, and we know that God causes. And so they put God towards the front of the whole sentence. And it helps us understand that this is what has to happen. As we're looking at this scripture in Romans 8:28, we need to put God first. But not just in that scripture. We have to understand that in everything who we are as servants of God, as Christians, as His people, everything that we are talking about, our whole life has to start with God. What does God want for me? What is God doing in me? What is God's purpose in me? Where is God going with this? What is going to unfold? What is God's big plan here? And when we get that as the first part of everything we think about, everything that we experience, then all of a sudden this scripture gets a little bit more where we can absorb it. So there's a big difference when we put God last. And that's a problem. So many times, we're not even worried about God. We're worried about what I'm experiencing right now. Because when we're experiencing pain or discomfort, when we're broke as a haint, hello? when our kids are sick, when we're hungry, we don't think about God. We're just thinking about the pain. And we're just worried about what's going on. And so we get, God doesn't come into the picture oftentimes until, like Samson. Remember the story about Samson? He was doing his own thing. God had blessed him with extraordinary strength. You can read about this in the book of Judges. And Samson had extraordinary strength. And God was wanting him to be used mightily in Israel, but instead he was doing his own thing. He was strong and handsome, and he was doing his own thing. He was chasing after the wrong things, and all of a sudden he finds himself in prison. He finds himself in trouble. They blind him, and they humiliate him. And the last thing you read about Samson, he prays God, if you'll just strengthen me. He finally resorts to, God, if you will just strengthen me so I can do this one last thing. Isn't that amazing to think about so many people that have been in church, that have been raised up in godly manners by godly parents, or been in Sunday school, been under preaching of the word, live in the Bible Belt here. The last thing we think about is God. And so when problems come, Romans 8:28 doesn't line up for us. Because God's not in focus here. We're in focus. It's what we're dealing with, what we're wrestling with. All of a sudden, Samson or whoever we are, we just say, hey, you know, I guess I better put God into the factor here. And so the reality of it is God has to be not just at the beginning, but in the middle and the end for us. He has to be all in all to us. Amen? Amen. And so when we get there, so when we get in life and we understand something, that life is not like a rolling of the dice. It's not karma. It's not about where am I going to win or lose, but God takes things in our life. God takes, if we are a child of God, He will take things in our life, even tragedies, and He's going to make good come out of it. Right. That's what Romans 8:28 is saying. He'll take tragedies. He didn't cause the tragedy.
That's right.
But He takes the tragedy and makes good come out of it. Excuse me, I guess my allergies are acting up. I don't know what... That's what everybody's been claiming the last few days. All you people have been coughing and sneezing on me. Now I got it. It's not blind faith. You know, God is here. God is here even when we're hurting. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to probably chew on that in a minute. This is the reality. God is in our beginning. He is here right now. And so when we see these horrible things, when these little tragedies happen, you know, we got to understand that somehow God didn't cause this child to die. God didn't cause that young policeman to be killed by that wild man. God doesn't cause people to die on the mission field. God doesn't cause this young woman or elderly woman to be cheated out of her inheritance. That's not God's operation. But God doesn't dissolve families that have been together for decades. All of a sudden, divorce comes into the picture. God doesn't do that. But God takes these tragedies and he comes to these situations and he's going to make good come out of it. But the problem is, we take just these cheap explanations that, you know, that, hey, God's in it. God's in it. God's in my heartache. we got to get a handle on this. God means it for the good. Have you ever heard that? And you're sitting there like, what are you saying? I'm looking at my loved one that's dead, and God meant it for the good? Did God orchestrate death, or was it the Bible says Satan brought death, that sin brought death. So we got to get our mind wrapped around it. God, you know, there's people who say, just have faith. If you have faith that this tragedy is not really a tragedy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't tell me to say that the tragedy is not tragedy. The Bible doesn't tell me that my pain is not real. The Bible doesn't tell me things that, you know, and the Bible doesn't tell us these things, that because when you're hurting, you're hurting. When pain and tragedy and heartache delivered on, the Bible doesn't say to deny it. The Bible doesn't say, well, you didn't have enough faith, that's why you're experiencing that. That's being preached today a lot. It's because you just don't have enough faith, that's why you're experiencing tragedy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible is helping us to understand something, and as we get the right perspective of this, that God is going to help us. He's going to take this tragedy and make good come out of it. Tragedy is not happiness. Suffering and evil, these are not something God really wants for us at all. But I think that probably we do need to wear a sign over our head. Quiet, please. God at work. Because that's what Romans 8:28 is saying. God's working on me. God's working in me. God's working through the circumstances that I'm stumbling into. How many of you know that in the Bible it tells us that we live in a cursed world? We live amongst people that are cursed, sinners. Satan means to harm us. The Bible says that Jesus said it himself, he come to steal from me. He come to kill me. He come to destroy me. He means to do these things. And he's done that a little bit to all those things to me and you. He's stolen from you, stole your joy. He stole your property, and he's killing you, you know, little by little. He's killing you. And that's, Satan does it so well. The Bible says that. And I live in a world that's cursed. I live in a world where Satan is the prince and power of this world, the Bible says. And so I live in a world that's cursed with a prince that's so evil. And guess what? There's a whole lot of sinners in Spring Hill. Servants of Satan. And they love to deliver heartache to me. I don't know why people hate me because I'm a Christian. But you just ask the priest over in Normandy, France. They cut his throat last week, because he's a Christian. And we go all over the world, we can find people that are killed and murdered and enslaved and beaten and raped just because they're Christians. People hate you. because you stand up for Christ. And they hate us in our own country because we're Christians. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. And so, but the reality is God loves me. And he's helping me. And these problems are going to come onto my front porch because Satan and his servants and this cursed world is going to make sure these problems come, these tragedies come. God doesn't have to do it. The enemy comes in like a flood every opportunity he gets. And it causes me heartache, but God is going to take the heartache that the enemy causes me. And he's going to bring good out of it. And that's what that scripture's saying. God's at work on me. God's helping me. And I still believe Romans 8:28. Another perspective we need to have, number two, is we need to have the long-term perspective here. We need to look at this scripture, realize that God is the God of right now, but he has some very long-term goals. You have to understand he exists in eternity. I exist in the moment. He exists in all of time, all at once. He's present always. That's why his name is I Am, Jehovah. I Am. That's his name. He's always present, all times, everywhere. And so this Almighty God has a very long-term perspective. How many know his parents? Your child wanted to do some things, and you said no. And you said, not now. You can later, but not now. And so that's what we deal with. We have to wrestle with that, with a Heavenly Father that says, I'm not going to take care of this issue for you right now. I'm going to let you suffer in this right now because I'm working on you. And I've got a long-term perspective for you. I'm going to get you through this. And as we walk through these valleys, God is helping us and traveling with us in these valleys. And so sometimes all of a sudden we see a tornado rip into town and one house is destroyed and the house next to it is not. We see two brothers that one of them is excelling and the other is not. We see tumors that come back when they were cut out, and the doctor said, I think I got it all. I believe I did, but it comes back. See, the reality of it is we don't understand these things. They don't make sense to us, but it doesn't matter whether it makes sense to our logic or not. We can't judge the end because we're really just in the beginning. Right. You can't judge the end because of the beginning. We don't know how this thing's going to unfold. Think of your own life. So many of you have talked to me about your childhood, and they talk about how hard it was and how difficult life has been for you. But you're saying, you oftentimes those same people say, I'm not too sure that I would change anything because it's made me who I am today. Some people that I've talked to in this congregation have been in jail and in prison, and they'll say, Pastor, I'm so glad that I went to jail because it was there I found Christ. And I wouldn't have found him on the street. And so many of us have very similar testimonies that we can talk. We can't judge the end because what is happening now. God's got a long-term perspective in our life. And as we suffer in trials, we got to know that God causes all things to work together for his good. We can't judge the end because of what's happening right now. A few months ago, Pastor JB and myself went down to South Louisiana on some business. I'm not really sure what it was about. We were in Metairie. And a local fellow said, when you go to Metairie, you have to go. You don't have a choice. He said, Pastor, you have to go to Chef Ron's Gumbo Stop. And I said, well, if you're going to require it, I guess I will. He said, you have to go there. And so we got on the causeway there in New Orleans, and we're going through Metairie, and we get off there because we see Chef Ron's Gumbo Stop. And I walk into the place, It's not too impressive because it's just a little corner store that, you know, may have been a gas station at one time. I'm not sure, but it's just not too impressive. But then I went inside, and being as picky of an eater as I am, I just happened to have some reason to go back because I saw that you could see into the kitchen. And I wanted to see in the kitchen. And so I look into the kitchen, and in the kitchen it's clean. I like that. But there's just these pots. They got pots of different ingredients, like shrimp here, raw shrimp here, and over here they got some raw pork or beef. I don't know what it was. And then they've got some over here. They got a bowl full of spices and stuff. And there's different ingredients. You see it all in there. And it's not too attractive. Nothing impressive at all about it. But it was clean. So I went back and I sat down and I ordered some of Chef Ron's gumbo. I said, can you bring me a, I'm pretty hungry, I guess I'll take a medium bowl. And they brought out this huge bowl, it's about this big, of this gumbo. And I'm going to tell you something. They had mixed all those ingredients, Sean. They had put them all together and they heated them up at the right temperature. And they had created something that if you ever go to New Orleans, you've got to go there. Hello? I'm telling you, this place, this is the best thing I ever put in my mouth. And it was wonderful. JB was trying to figure out how he could move to Metairie just so he could eat at Chef Ron's place there. And it was so wonderful. It was the best gumbo I ever tasted. You know, back in the back, those ingredients didn't look very attractive. But when they mixed them together, this in this scripture, all things work together. That work together is a Greek word. It's called synergon. And that synergon is where we get synergy from, synergy. Now, that's what Chef Ron did. He combined some basic elements together and made something wonderful. That's a synergy. And so that's what happens when mama takes that cocoa and all these sugar and all these flour and makes a cake. That's a synergy. She combines these elements, these basic elements, in the right condition under heat at the right time. And all of a sudden you've got something that's really, you got chocolate cake that's wonderful. That's a synergy. And that's what this scripture is. Is God is synergizing. He is taking the basic elements of your life experiences, and he's blending them together, and he's going to make good come out of it. Did you get that, folks? God's doing something wonderful. Keep a long-term view of what's happening in your life. Now, there's one other thing that we need to do. Number three is we need to define what the word good is. Now, Pastor Daphne just preached a sermon, I think, just a couple weeks ago about when good becomes bad. If you weren't here, you need to get that CD because it's a great, in fact, I think it might be online. You can load it down online or listen to it online. When good becomes bad, she preached a very powerful sermon. And that's the good here was what Paul, or the writer of Romans, was talking about. The apostle was talking about good. We got to define what is good. What really is good? I'm not talking about what you think is good. What does God think is good? As a matter of fact, just one verse before that, Brother Carey, he defines to us what is good. In verse 20, actually one verse later, it says, for those who he foreknew, he predestined, listen to this, this is what's good, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is good. Remember the guy come up to Jesus? He said, good master. He said, why do you call me good? Because there's only one good, and that's God. And he said, see, the reality of it is that's what God is. Christ is good. And God's conforming us to the image of good, is what he's saying. So he's changing us to be like good. That's what he's doing in you. So our problem, the problem is that, friends, I hate to break this news to you, but you are hard-headed. Go ahead and pat somebody on the shoulder and said, I'm sorry he had to tell you that, but it's the truth. You go ahead. You've been wanting to tell him that. Go ahead. You are hard-headed, honey. But the preacher brought you to church to hear the truth. You've just heard it. You are hard-headed. We are. We got to get this because God has not committed to making us happy. God has not committed to making us successful. He is committed to making us good. I'm talking about His children. So that means He's committed to making you more and more like Christ. And so if it makes you like Jesus, it's good. You understand this? So the problem is you're hard-headed. You don't want to listen to Him. And the problem is you learn more. Christians, church, I'm talking, you learn more when you're in the dark than you do when you're in the light. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you learn more when you're having problems. You're learning and developing and seeking God more when you're sick or when your kids are sick. I'm going to tell you the truth. Huh? This is the preacher speaking. I pray a lot. And you say, I hope so, preacher. But I'm going to tell you, when I've been scared, I pray harder than I ever prayed. Hello? When you're scared to death, you're calling on God. Hello? It's not, Almighty God, dear Father in heaven, oh great God Almighty. You start, God help! Or you might just say, God! But He knows the rest. Because you're scared. You're getting serious. You're getting to the bone of the matter all of a sudden. You're cutting through the meat. Here we are, God, I'm praying. And we get a hold of heaven. We're pulling on heaven's bell cords. When our kids are sick or when our kids are on the way to the hospital, we're praying like we've never prayed before. That's our problem. We're hard-headed. God says, pray without ceasing. Seek my face continually. Search for me and you'll find me. He teaches us that. But we don't do that because, man, we got a boat to go out on. We got a four-wheeler to ride. We got an easy recliner that we got to sit in. Woo! I got to work today, God. I ain't got time to pray. I got to keep this job going. You know, I got to learn this lesson, God. I got a test tomorrow. And so we're busy, so busy with life that we forget to seek God. And so God says, you know what? I got to work on Vicky. So I'm going to let Vicky walk through this problem. Because I know when she's in this problem, Satan orchestrated this problem for you, Vicky. But I'm going to let Vicky walk through this because I'm going to know she'll grow. You see, God's defining good here. Because as she grows, she's growing closer and closer to God. Hello? You hear me? This is what this scripture is telling us. All things work to the good. He's working you to be more and more Christ-like through the trials and tribulations in life. And here we are. And finally, the last thing is we got to know about this scripture is that God, this verse has certain perimeters. This verse doesn't apply to everybody. It clearly states that this promise that God's going to work to the good, all things cause all things to work to the good. He's going to make chocolate cake come out to the good. He's going to make good come out only for certain two people, for those who love God and those who are called according to His purposes. This is not a blanket promise to every person, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks up and down the street here. It's not to everybody. This is to the church. This is to God's people. I'm going to work things out. I'm going to make good come out of this. But not just for everybody, but for God. This is the question we got to ask as if this scripture applies to me is are you walking in love with God? Do you love God? Am I walking in love with God? I'm going to tell you something. How do you know that? Oh, yeah, I love God. I love God. You know what? I love my wife. And because I've loved my wife, I've pledged my fidelity to her. And there's certain things I do and certain things I don't do because I love her and I'm expressing that I love her that much. And she does the same for me. And there's other people, as we walk in relationship with love with each other, we treat each other with kindness, and there's certain boundaries that we walk in because love demands boundaries, right?
Right.
You know, whether you're a parent or child or a brother or sister, siblings, friends, as you walk in love with people, you know you have boundaries. You're expected to behave towards people in a certain way if you love them. If we really love Christ, then he's given us very specific boundaries. Hasn't he? We're going to walk in a life of faith that is so astounding that we're not going to lie, we're not going to cheat, we're not going to steal, we're not going to slander, we're not going to covet, we're not going to cheat on our taxes, cheat with other men's wives or husbands or whatever. We're not going to do these things. The Bible tells us the boundaries. If you love God, you're going to walk in those boundaries. Now the question is, are you walking in love with God? And then secondly, have you responded to God's call? Because that's what it is here. He's going to do these things for that are called according to his purposes, that love him and are called according to his purposes. In other words, what is God's purpose? His purpose is salvation, not only for you, but for your neighbor and for the guy across the street and to all the world. Are you walking in the calling to God's purpose in your life? What does that mean? I'm going to tell you something. This is very plain. Listen to this preacher. I'm going to make some people mad right now. You're going to get mad because you're not doing it, and that's why you're going to get mad at me. This is God's purpose is to save everybody in this town. And the only way he has chosen to do this, listen to this preacher. I want you to get this. He has chosen to do this through the church.
Amen.
The church. He's also said, I'm going to save people in Africa and South America and in Asia and Europe. I'm going to save people all around the world. And I'm going to do it through the church. There's no other way that he's going to do this. The Bible plainly spells this out. I'm going to do it through the church. Now, granted, the church has problems because it's full of human beings and it's run by knot-headed preachers. You know, but the church has problems. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. If you're not getting into the church with and pulling into the harness of the church, then you're not called according to God's purpose. Because you can't do this on your own. This is God's plan for his people, the church. God invented the church. God's plan is for us to get into the church, pull into this harness with all of our strength. We're winning souls. We're sacrificing. We're giving financially. We're giving of our time. Yeah, I told you I was going to make some people mad at me. I've done it. Are you so in love with God? Are you called according to his purposes? Otherwise, this scripture doesn't apply to you. You're on your own, in other words. But if you're coming into this plan that God has, and you've got... You starting with God, you're ending with God, you got a long-term view, you understand what good, what he's conforming you to be, and you understand the perimeters of this, then God is working all things to the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.